Podcast.ph can be downloaded for free on iTunes by typing podcast.ph programs. You can also listen on Podomatic, Spreaker, Stitcher, Clamor, YouTube, and our official URL, podcast.ph. Like and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Google+. Podcast.ph, the most active and fastest-growing podcast network in the Philippines.
Can you adjust the frequency and volume a bit?
Startups, originators, música, cultura, the arts, política, sports, news, technology, crime, tragedy, comedy, lahat ng makabuluhan.
We are your independent podcast content creator, straight from the Philippine Islands. Mabuhay.
You're listening to podcast.ph.
Welcome to the 69th episode of Martin's Man Cave here inside podcast.ph. And you heard the gentleman earlier. You can download us for free on iTunes. Just type podcast.ph programs and download us for free. Check us in our official website, www.podcast.ph. And go to our other platforms, Spreaker.com, Stitcher.com, or SoundCloud.com, Podomatic.com. Our guest was born in Iriga City on July 27, 1959, to former COMELEC Commissioner Vicente de Lima and Norma E. Maestrado. And she is the mother of Israel and Vincent Joshua, and grandmother of two, Brandon and Hannah. Former DOJ Secretary Attorney Laila M. De Lima has a very, 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 very long history in law. Talagang buong buhay po ni Ma'am eh, abogado siya, and serving the poor, of course. She was the legal staff of Supreme Court Associate Justice Isagani A. Cruz from 1986 to 1989. She was also junior associate of Hardalesa, Sobrevinas, Diaz, Ayudini, and Bodigon Law, which coincidentally, Francis Sobrevinas is my uncle.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Married to...
our labor law expert.
Married to... Tita Bem Bem, Marfori Sobrevinas, my mother's sister.
Yeah.
And,
nice to know.
Yeah, small world. the clerk, secretary of the tribunal, House of Representatives, from 1993 to 1995. Junior partner of Rocco Bunya Kapunan and Migalios, 1995 to 98. And partner of the Lima Law Firm, 1998 to 2008. Chairperson Commission on Human Rights from 2008 to 2009, and Secretary of Department of Justice from June 2010 to about a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, Monday was the effectivity date of my resignation.
Monday.
12.
Kalain mo. So it's been like, what, 4 days, no?
Yes.
Since,
I'm a citizen Laila.
You're now a citizen Laila running for the Senate, of course, no? She went to La Consolacion Academy during her elementary in Iriga City, and she high school as well, Dunden.
Yes.
High school, no? And then De La Salle University, major in history and political science, and she took up law at the San Beda College of Law. Batch 95, class salutatorian, and number 8 in the 1995 bar examinations. Hindi ko nababanggitin yung mga special awards. Napakahaba. But we'll just go straight to the story of Attorney Laila De Lima, the former Secretary of DOJ. Thank you so much, Mom, for allowing us to document your life here in rich audio format.
Oh, my honor and my pleasure. This is the first time that I'm doing this.
Yes.
No one has interviewed me. Podcast. Mm-hmm. Style.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm actually excited, Martin. Hi.
Thank
nice
you.
To see you again.
Good to see
after
you again.
A few years.
After a few years of seeing you really in person, and the last 5 years, it's always been on the phone or.
Yes.
Diba? Just
you've been
busy.
Phone batch.
You've been busy mm-hmm. with so many things in the Justice Department. Tell us more about your Your parents first.
My parents?
Yes.
Okay, so my late father, former COMELEC commissioner Vicente de Lima, he died 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. He died 18 days ahead of SecGes Robredo. So that's also in 2012. July 31, SecGes Robredo died August 18 of the same year. So he was my role model. Ever since I was a child, I wanted to be a lawyer because I idolized my father so much. So musmus pa lang ako. Talagang palagi akong nasa buntot ng daddy ko. And when he appears in court, he was a very known trial practitioner, mm-hmm. in Bicol, particularly Camarines Sur. Mm-hmm. But he is the disciplinarian in the family, mm-hmm. and he took care of my cerebral part, or the mm-hmm. cerebral part of me. Puro lang aral. Mm-hmm. Puro, you know, binigyan niya ako ng buong encyclopedia and mm-hmm. books, novels, etc., all reading. Now, my mom mm-hmm. is the exact opposite. But I'd like to believe that without my mom, my personality would not be mm-hmm. this one. I would have a different personality if not for my mom, because my mom, Norma Estrada Maestrado, took care of my social side. You know, mm-hmm. ang gusto naman ng mom ko noon, palagi akong kasama sa mga extracurricular mm-hmm. activities mm-hmm. in school, like singing, dancing, folk dancing, mm-hmm. even baton twirling. Mm-hmm. I used to be the majorette leader mm-hmm. in La Constelacion uh-huh. Academy. So, binalanse ang buhay ko, because were it not for my mom, I would have mm-hmm. been a nerd now, mm-hmm. because my father really just wanted me to study. Mm-hmm. But my father also taught me the Spartan way. While he wanted me always to study, he would leave me alone to mm-hmm. study. Mm-hmm. You know, I would never, if I ask him questions, he would not answer me. If I ask him questions about any subject, you know, in school, he would not answer me. Go find out for yourself. Discover it for yourself. Look for the answer uh-huh. yourself. And then he would always say that learn to survive on your own. Learn to be on your own. Mm-hmm. Because you can never tell about life. Do not depend on others. Do not depend on us, your parents. You should be on your own always. And my mom is really the social
mm-hmm. the right side of the brain.
Yes.
Your mom.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
you have siblings?
My mom is still alive. My mom is still alive. Mm-hmm. She's now 83 years old. She turned 83 last Monday. Mm-hmm. When this October 12, mm-hmm. when the senatorial lineup of the Daang Matuwid Coalition was announced. Mm-hmm. Now my kids, I have two kids. Mm-hmm. My eldest is Israel. He's 33 years old. He's special. Mm-hmm. He's autistic. Now he's my angel. Mm-hmm. You know, he's my guardian angel. He's my lucky charm. People say that he's my swerte. Mm-hmm. He's so sweet. Until now, 33 mm-hmm. years old. My second is Vincent Joshua. He has kids already, Brandon and Hannah, uh-huh. 8-year-old and 5-year-old. Mm-hmm. Vincent Joshua is studying law. He's now third year, College of Law, San Beda, mm-hmm. Alabang. I hardly see him. He's always busy. He has always excuses that he's busy. So I hardly see also my apos, uh-huh. because they
live separately.
They live separately. Mm-hmm. Israel is with me most mm-hmm. of the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's with his father.
Are you more like your father or more like your mother or nasa gitna?
They say, okay, I'm a lookalike of my father. I'm the female version of my father. Mm-hmm. And I'm more identified with my father.
Because of your profession, too.
Because of my profession. In fact, I miss him a lot nowadays, Martin, because, you know, after making this another major decision in my life, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that is joining the electoral race, I would have wanted that he's around, mm-hmm. because he's always been really my mentor mm-hmm. and my guide in all of the major decisions that I made mm-hmm. in my public life, beginning when I was appointed the CHR chairperson, mm-hmm. and then later as the DOJ secretary. Mm-hmm. I would have, because, you know, and my father, even mm-hmm. In the political side of things, he had some experience in politics, because mm-hmm. he ran several decades ago as board member in our province, Camarines Sur, mm-hmm. under LP. But I myself is really apolitical. I'm mm-hmm. a completely political neophyte and newbie. Mm-hmm. So,
like a novice to this new profession of running.
No. Yeah.
It's different, huh?
I expect it to be very different. Mm-hmm. That's why I keep saying that I'm both excited and scared. Excited because this is yet another challenge in my mm-hmm. in my life, mm-hmm. and scared because I've never done this before. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does the team expect you to be the voice of the Senate slate?
Well, it's a team. It's a Daang Matuwid uh-huh. coalition, mm-hmm. basically LP, but Daang Matuwid, because we'd like to think that this is not just about us, the individual candidates, beginning with Mar and also Lenny mm-hmm. as our standard bearers, mm-hmm. and my colleagues in the Senate slate. It's not about us. It's not mm-hmm. really about the party, mm-hmm. but it's really about the gains mm-hmm. in the under the Daang Matuwid mm-hmm. slogan or Daang Matuwid platform of the Pinoy mm-hmm. administration. So it's sort of a referendum mm-hmm. of the performance of the Pinoy team, mm-hmm. of the Pinoy administration. Mm-hmm. There have been gains, but there have been also mm-hmm. there have been also downsides. There mm-hmm. have been also failures. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to think that it's more of gains. Mm-hmm. And it is because of the vision of the president. It's because of the style of governance of the president. Mm-hmm. Now, I'd like to think also that the reason why they considered me is because of my work, mm-hmm. and you know, I also like to think that this is simply the continuation of all my advocacies, mm-hmm. beginning with when I was still an election law practitioner, mm-hmm. because before I became a CHR, I was really into election law. Mm-hmm. practice, and I thought I'd be an election law practitioner for the rest of my life. Now I've seen the ills of the electoral system.
Now you need a lawyer. Now you need an election lawyer.
I'll probably be
your own.
I expect to be the de facto election lawyer of the entire team. No choice.
All right. Let's talk about Laila De Lima. Back in grade school. Tell us, how was studying and growing up in Iriga? Studying your elementary days. Tell us more about that.
Yes, I was very active. Because, you know, I was a consistent class valedictorian from kindergarten to,
my goodness,
to high school. Again, care of my father.
Your father, yes.
Yeah, and really my father also had a sterling scholastic performance. So I inherited his brains. Uh-huh. So I've been a consistent valedictorian. And as early as grade school, I would be joining also oratorical contests, things like that. Mm.
And class president.
Class president. Consistent class presidents also.
My goodness.
From grade one up to high school.
So you were born to achieve.
I think so.
You were raised to achieve.
I think so. Mm-hmm. It's just pure guts. Mm-hmm. I'm really a gutsy person. Mm-hmm. I'm shy. And in a sense, there is a shy part of me always. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the more substantive things in life, mm-hmm. leadership, etc., mm-hmm. standing for certain principles, mm-hmm. I'm gutsy. And even in terms of singing, I'm gutsy.
Oh, singing,
because
no?
I always believe, this is what my tita, Lilia De Lima, the PEZA Director General, is my aunt.
Oh.
She's the younger sister of my dad. She's mm-hmm. also a lawyer. I also idolize her. Now, she keeps telling me that singing is 95% guts and only 5%
talent.
Voice.
Skill.
So, that sticks in my mind.
What's your favorite song? What
would you believe? It's Careless Whispers. And also, I Will Survive.
By George Michael.
Yes.
We'll play that later on. Uh-huh. Well, when Hayden Cole came in and just destroyed the entire the song of George
that's
Michael.
That's it. That's why I get really an excited reaction. But whenever I sing that song.
I love that song.
It is a beautiful song. The melody, especially the entrance.
Yes, yes.
The intro, the intro part. The president knows that that's my signature song, because if we have our own parties among cabinet members and close friends of the president, I would always be asked to sing, and he knows that I would be singing that song. So yes, it was an active student life way back in La Consolacion.
Grade school and high school.
Yes, both high.
And you've been studying all the way, valedictorian, you've been top of the class, student leader, president of your class. Siguro hindi ka nagka-boyfriend no high school ka.
Tama ka, Martin, because my dad was so strict. Was really so strict. Uh-huh. Kung meron man nag-attempt dyan na magpumorma-porma, wala.
Hindi pwede makadalaw
sa bahay.
Hanggang gate lang.
Pasilip-silip lang sa gate. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember, because our residence is about 4 to 5 kilometers from the school. So while in the morning, hinahatid kami either ng daddy ko or ng driver. Mm-hmm. But in the afternoon, no one would fetch us. Mm-hmm. So I would take the tricycle. Mm-hmm. So yung mga medyo mga nanliligaw, doon ako sinusundan sa tricycle. Pero hanggang gate lang sila. Hanggang gate lang sila, because they know na hindi sila papasa sa daddy ko. Uh-oh. Talagang my dad would really give them a tiger's look, a dagger look. And hindi niya talaga papasukin. And then he would interview them. Sinong tatay mo? Sinong nanay mo? Anong ginagawa mo dito? Mm. Bakit ka sumusunod sa anak ko? You know, things like that.
Yung tatay mo smuggler.
At kilala niya lahat. My dad knows everyone in our place. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, so, nung JS junior and senior prom, I had a curfew. Uh-huh. My curfew was around 10:30. And my dad fetched me at exactly 10:30.
Waiting for
so
you.
Paano ba makakaporma yung partner ko in that during that event? Uh-huh. Everybody was excited about JS.
Of course.
I never enjoyed it because of my curfew.
It's the biggest day of high school student.
It's the biggest. I think nakadalawa pa lang o tatlo pa lang kaming sayaw noon nung hisinundo na ako ng daddy ko. It's supposed to be, socially, it's supposed to be the first dance, the JS, no? But because of the curfew, I never enjoyed JS. So the next day, my friends, my classmates were all talking about their experiences the night before. I never had any such experience, you know, the dancing dance, all night, and then mga pa-sweet-sweet sa kanilang mga partners. So I did not go through that.
My goodness. Siguro sa college, siguro yan. Pero, okay, let's get to your college experience here in Manila, no? De La Salle. No?
Yeah, La Salle.
So, diretso ka na ng De La Salle.
Yes.
Take up your poli-sci, you know?
And I was staying with my aunt, Tita Lilia.
Stricta rin.
In Makati. Yes, stricta rin. Kasi kabilin-bilinan din ng daddy ko. But not as strict as my dad. Uh-huh. So, sometimes napapalusutan ko.
Siyempre, Manila na ito. Medyo advanced thinking na yung mga tao.
Yeah. And by the way, I never get to mention because it's not part, I think, of my CV. When fourth year high school until second year college, I was with the Kabataang Barangay.
Ah, all right.
I was part of the pioneer group of the Kabataang Barangay way back then.
Panahon ni Marcos pa.
Panahon pa ni Marcos. Mm-hmm. And then Aimee Marcos was really the...
Were you appointed or you won?
I was elected.
You were elected?
I was elected as a Kabataang Barangay chairman of our barangay. And then the president of the Federation of Kabataang Barangay in the city, and the president of the Bicol Federation
Galing.
Of Kabataang barangay. Mm-hmm. And would you believe, I was the youth representative also in the Batasan Bayan. The Batasan Bayan was the legislature then, but under Marcos. So that was my first exposure to
politics.
Leadership. Mm-hmm. But it's not really politics way back then, because kabataang barangay. No, so yun ang naging that's really my exposure to leadership. Mm-hmm. Part of the kabataang barangay.
Were there other officers during the back then who are still your friends right now? Or nasa pwesto na rin, nasa nakaupo na rin, mayor, congressman na sila? Or?
Yeah, yung mga kabataang barangay, even sila Herbert Bautista, ay alam ko, kabataang barangay yan.
That's
even
right.
Even Francis Tolentino is also KB.
Ito yung mga kabatch mo?
Younger sila. Because part ako of the original, of the original batch. Danny Concepcion was part of the original batch.
Attorney, yes.
And then the late Roger Paywan. You know Roger Paywan? I think he passed away two years ago. Mm-hmm. He's also part of that.
My goodness, talagang ano. Yeah. Sino yung mga naging barkada mo friends back in grade school or high school that you're still in touch with, right?
Some of them. Mm-hmm. Some of them, but not everyone. Mm-hmm. Because many are abroad already. Mm-hmm. A few stayed behind in Iriga City. Mm-hmm. And then several here in Metro Manila. Mm-hmm. So those that I'm still in touch with are those in Metro Manila. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just a few of them.
Uh-huh.
This elementary, high school
and
classmates.
Are you closer to your high school classmates or your college or law classmates?
I'm closer to the law school batchmates. Mm. In fact, lately we've been having regular get together because they're the ones, they're among the ones who really pushed me
to run for senator.
They just organized themselves, they volunteered, and they really pushed me. They knew that I would not simply accept it. I would not simply go into that. But they're the ones who encouraged me. So I'm closer to them. Really, there's something in law school that made everyone close to each other, you know, because of all the challenges. Talagang nag-study group kami doon, nagtutulungan kami.
You burn the midnight oil almost every night.
Correct, with all the terror professors in law school. We had to bond together. So we're still close, many of us.
Let's talk about your experience in De La Salle and then San Beda. Right after we play Careless Whisper. We'll play that song.
All right.
This is Martin's Man Cave. We are with former Justice Secretary Laila De Lima here inside Martin's Man Cave podcast.ph. We're recording this just about 4 days after she resigned for the post to run for a Senate seat. We'll be right back. Enjoy the music. George Michael and Careless Whisper.
Thank you.
music of George Michael and Careless Whisper reminds you of, I suppose, a lot of memories back in college.
Well, in college, because I was in college when that was really a hit, a big hit.
Uh-huh.
And I'd never forget that song. That has really been my favorite ever since. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't remind me really of anyone special. I just really love the song.
The song is really cool.
Yes, yes.
They used to play this a lot on 99.5 RT and Casey, I think Casey FM before.
I've always loved it.
Yeah, back
the first
in the
time
day.
I heard it.
Mm-hmm. So you'd play this in parties way back.
Yes.
Or in your dorm.
And even now, until now.
Ah.
Even the president himself knows that that's my signature song.
And you sing this with a karaoke, you know.
Yes, with the live band.
Live band.
With live band.
And you stopped singing this when Hayden Kost started playing the song and used it in a very not so fashionable way.
Yeah, they gave that particular episode gave that song really a
bad connotation.
A bad connotation, but I still continue to sing it because I really love the song.
Yeah, it's not Hayden, it's not Katrina, it's George Michael.
It's George Michael.
Tell us about your college years in La Salle.
Okay, so La Salle, I felt like, at first I felt, because I was a provinciana, fresh from Bicol, and from the strict atmosphere from Bicol, then I plunged into college and mga social pati yung mga kasamahan ko doon sa La Salle. So I was really basically a probinsyana na may pagka-nerd actually compared to my classmates.
Mm-hmm.
But gradually I gained confidence.
Mm-hmm.
But I was still very serious in my studies, political science subjects.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a small group where we would normally have a study group meetings, assignments, and then jamming.
Jamming?
Yes, jamming.
Anong jamming? Guitar?
Disco.
Oh, disco. Buti pinayagan ka.
Uso nun yung disco. Well, I was with my aunt, and the perfect excuse was a study group meeting.
Okay, okay.
And we did have study group meetings, our group, but paminsan-minsan with tumatakas din kami. Mga kupak. There were a few disco places back then. I forgot the names, but those were our favorite hangouts.
This was back in the 80s.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In the 80s, no?
No, 77 to 80, 1980.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mga Copacabana.
Copacabana. Disco, really. Nagsimula ang disco by that time.
Tapos sikat pa yung Alimol during that time.
Yes.
Diba? Alimol was the place to be.
Alimol.
Diba? Alimol.
Just Alimol.
Shakey's.
Yes, yes. That's diba? It. That's it.
Yeah.
Those were my college. Very limited. But my social life then was limited. Fairly limited.
Mm-hmm.
But just really, a small group.
But when you were in La Salle, you already knew that you'd proceed to law during that time.
Well, I always wanted to be a lawyer. So I knew then that after history, political science in La Salle, I'll be studying law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a choice between UP and San Beda.
Uh-huh.
Most of my classmates who proceeded to law went to Ateneo Law School.
Mm-hmm.
A few went to UP. Mm-hmm. I was the only one who landed in San Beda. It's because of my cousins. I had two cousins then who were studying in San Beda, and therefore they persuaded me to also go to San Beda.
Nandun na yung pinsan mo, siyempre.
Nandun na yung dalawang pinsan ko. I thought that sila yung mag-guide din sa akin.
Uh-huh.
And no regrets that I became a Bedan. Because really, I was so comfortable in San Beda.
Mm-hmm.
Karamihan din kasi ng sa San Beda College of Law, mga probinsyano rin, probinsyana rin.
Mm-hmm.
And San Beda College of Law, co-ed na rin at that time, mm-hmm. but we were very few female. Mm-hmm. Now I think it's more than 50%. Mm-hmm. The female population in San Beda College mm-hmm. of Law is now, I heard, mm-hmm. more than 50%. Mm-hmm. But way back then, we were really a minority. Mm-hmm. First year, we were about 30 mm-hmm. in class mm-hmm. and about 4 to 5 female students only. Mm-hmm. But I was so comfortable in San Beda. I excelled mm-hmm. in law school. I was a consistent Dean's Lister mm-hmm. also. And that's why I actually graduated class salutatorian. Mm-hmm.
And of course, yes. when you took the bar, you were a bar top-notcher.
Yes.
What was the biggest practical lesson that you took mm-hmm. home from De La Salle?
From De La Salle?
Yeah. Ano yung pinaka natutunan mo doon na when you went to San Beda and now when you look back, ito yun. Social skills?
Well, it's really... I read a lot of history books way back then mm-hmm. because my history professor was very good. Mm-hmm. So I was engrossed mm-hmm. with historical novels. Mm-hmm. That's my single most memory. Mm,
talagang cerebral talaga. No? Wala man lang yung party.
No, because ano lang yung grupo na talaga namin noon, maliit
cerebral
lang.
Din lahat.
Cerebral pa rin.
Who are your friends? Battle, yeah.
Well, sina Peripe, Vicky Rotor, mm-hmm. Karen, what's the family name back then of Karen? Two more. So just a small group.
And you're the only one who ended up in government.
I guess so. I don't know of anyone else.
Usually, mga lasalista, corporate din mga yan, di ba? Negosyante, di ba?
Although some really became lawyers also, mm-hmm. but more of corporate mm-hmm. corporate lawyers. Mm-hmm. So, that's it. This is very limited, limited... social life.
It wasn't boring? I mean, was it a boring
social? It was not boring at all. Mm-hmm. It was not boring at all because the challenge was there.
Cerebral nga talaga.
Learning a lot about history uh-huh. and political science. Uh-huh. We had good professors uh-huh. back then, mm-hmm. including Willie Villacorta. Mm-hmm. You know Willie Villacorta? Mm-hmm. Professor Willie Villacorta mm-hmm. became actually a member of the Constitutional mm-hmm. Commission. This is very good. He would text me every now and then. Mm-hmm. My hat's off to him. Mm-hmm. I would really listen intently mm-hmm. about his discourses on Philippine history, on Philippine politics, mm-hmm. particularly on constitutional mm-hmm. on constitutional issues. Mm-hmm. So cerebral.
Cerebral pa rin.
Cerebral.
So, kailan natigil itong cerebral na to? Kasi pag, when you move to San Beda, ganun na naman, di ba? Teka muna.
Pero mas nag-enjoy ako sa San Beda. Even uh-huh. if it was grueling.
Because?
Studying law is always uh-huh. grueling.
Yes.
Mas nag-enjoy ako because I have a wider group.
Mm-hmm. Mas maraming probinsyano rin.
Mas marami kasing probinsyano. Maraming probinsyano. And then, uh-huh. meron kaming mga favorite hangout din along near Mendiola.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I learned to drink mm-hmm. beer.
College na.
I became a heavy beer drinker.
Uh-huh.
But no longer, not anymore.
Oh, I've got a lot of beer upstairs.
Not anymore.
Uh-huh.
Just socially now.
Wine na lang.
No.
Wala rin,
I still would prefer beer up to now. But hindi na regular. But way back in law school, after exams, yeah. Friday evenings, we would really hang out in certain mga pipichugin lang na mga doon, mga kainan. And may mga pulutan na mga uh-huh. kambing.
Uh-huh.
You know, the kalderetang kambing. Papaitan.
Normal talaga. Normal yung law school mo. Okay.
Yes, yes.
Hindi so mo sinabi. Up
to when I was practicing
mm.
after Supreme Court,
mm.
because I right after law school, when I became a lawyer, because I became a lawyer in May of May of 1986, I took the bar in 1985. The results came out May of 1986, right after EDSA revolt, EDSA revolution. I joined the Supreme Court with my former professor in constitutional law, Justice Isagani A. Cruz, really very, very an eminent jurist. I taught in San Beda right after the bar, right after the results of the bar came out. And, back then in 1986, I was a young lawyer. So after three years, I joined the Hardilesas of Brevinas, Diaz, Ayudini, and Bodegon law offices, and got exposed to practice, but more of labor law because of Francis Sobrevinas and Francis Hardilesa. Francis Sobrevinas was really our labor law expert. But it was several years later that I became an election law practitioner. And back then, after law school, I was still a heavy beer drinker.
Wait, when was the first time you dated? Halasal or San Beda? Iba tayo. Kasi siyempre, sa Bicol, wala namang date, diba?
Lasal.
Okay.
Yeah.
First year or second year?
I'm trying to remember. Second or third year.
All right.
And then College of Law, law school, and second year College of Law, I got married.
Second year College of Law,
we eloped.
My goodness.
A classmate.
So talagang pag-ibig.
And that really broke my father's heart.
So
my
dun,
father did not talk to me until I took the bar. So between second year College of Law and fourth year College of Law, my father would not see me because he got so frustrated.
That you got married, that you eloped.
That I fell in love.
Eloped.
And that I eloped.
And you bore a child, the first child?
Yes.
During
yes.
that time? During
Israel
time.
Was born when I was in law school.
So did you discover that... Merong forever or walang forever?
Walang forever.
Walang forever. Ne, meron
din. There's no such thing. Well, when I'm talking before youth groups, I would always ask them, naniniwala ba kayo na may forever? And they're so kilig, and they would say, most of them would say yes. And then I would just tell myself, That's what you think. There is meron forever. Wala talaga forever. I had a first-hand experience in that.
Anong pakiramdam? What is the feeling when you bump into Soljen? You used to work for him, and now you're like way up there.
Well, Francis Hardilesa. He is my mentor in law practice, really. Because I was the first associate taken in by their law office. So Hardilesa, Sobrevinas, Diaz, Ayudini, and Bodegon. Nag-walk-in lang ako noon na nag-apply. So when I was at the Supreme Court, somebody told me, gusto mo na bang mag-practice? Why don't you try? Why don't you join this very, very new law firm? They seceded from
Accra.
The Accra law firm, but they were top litigators in Accra. So they're looking for an associate kasi bago pa lang sila. Their office was in TM Calao, that's very near the Supreme Court in Padre Faura. So nag-walk in lang ako one fine day. I just went there and then I said I want to be I want to join your law firm. They all interviewed me. The first one was Francis Hardilesa. Mm-hmm. And I became the alalay of Francis Hardilesa. You know, labor law, we were representing management. Mm-hmm. You know, there were several retainer mm-hmm. companies, including San Miguel. I remember that we would be attending CBA mm-hmm. meetings overnight. Mm-hmm. So, and then about 2 years later, Francis Hardilesa seceded from the group. Mm-hmm. I joined him. So Francis Hardilesa put up that Hardilesa Law Office mm-hmm. with me again as an associate. Mm-hmm. And then several months later, we joined. The Hardilesa Law Office joined the Rocco, Bunyag, Kapunan, and Migalios mm-hmm. law offices. Mm-hmm. The RoboCup,
yeah.
Yeah, Raul Rocco, mm-hmm. the late Raul Rocco, and Lorna Kapunan. Mm-hmm. So, LPK.
Kalaban kayo yan.
But we continue to be friends. And then I joined the House of Representatives Electoral Tribunal. That's when I got exposed to election law. Mm-hmm. So I put up my law office, specializing in election law. Mm-hmm. So we parted ways, me and Francis Hardilesa, mm-hmm. when I put up my own law firm. Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, now that I'm not, when I became the Secretary of Justice, France, I convinced him to join me, mm-hmm. and to join government, and he joined Ombudsman briefly, and mm-hmm. after that he became the Solicitor General. Mm-hmm. So we're still friends. So, in other words, when he became the Sol Gen, I became his boss. He was my boss in law practice, and then I was his boss in government service.
So Jen, paisabi naman sa secretary mo, timpla na ako ng kape.
But you know, Sir Francis is a very very humble, very low key, but very very intelligent. Mama, tahimik lang na tao.
What are the, what's the biggest lesson you've learned here in this department, the Department of Justice?
The biggest lesson. But you know, DOJ or being a Secretary of Justice really is quite daunting. Sabi ko nga, Superwoman or Superman mm-hmm. siguro ang kailangan ng isang Secretary of Justice. Mm-hmm. Because the DOJ family mm-hmm. is really huge. So DOJ proper palang malaki na mm-hmm. because we're talking here about all the prosecutors all over the country, mm-hmm. the National Prosecution Service. So all the prosecutors all over the country are under the DOJ, mm-hmm. and then you have the attached agencies, and some of them are major agencies mm-hmm. like BI, Bucor, NBI, PAO, mm-hmm. OSG, PPA. That's the Parole and Probation. Mm-hmm. Authority or administration, OGCC, the Office of the Government, Corporate Counsel, and even LRA, mm. Land Registration Administration is also
under you,
under DOJ. So mm-hmm. this, I think DOJ has the most number of attached agencies, mm-hmm. is the biggest mm-hmm. bureaucracy in the executive mm-hmm. branch. So looking back, I don't even know how I handled everything, mm-hmm. how I handled those things. Now, the biggest lesson, it's just really showing always good faith in everything you do. Now, you cannot achieve everything you want, mm-hmm. because that is humanly impossible. And I made a lot of judgment calls based purely on my gut feel. Mm-hmm. That's how I decide on major things, mm-hmm. on major controversies that I confronted.
Like the one in the National Bilibid Prison.
The National Bilibid Prison.
My goodness, yeah.
Yes. I just felt that's the best way to confront the drug situation, because we had several interagency brainstorming among relevant agencies, not just Bucor, not just NBI, PIDEA, PAOK, even ESAF. And everybody was saying that the drug problem within NBP was really was huge, was really pervasive, prevalent.
Do you think it's under the current system that we have, it's beyond redemption? Under the current structure that we have?
Well, I don't want to say that. I believe that it can still be addressed. Now, we started by segregating these big drug lords.
And the last one was a couple of weeks back.
Yeah.
The last of the Mohicans there.
Yeah. We transferred them from the general population, from the maximum security compound, to a separate high-secure facility.
Is it cell 14?
Building 14.
Building 14,
Building 14. Yeah. It used to be the death row back then when we had death penalty. Now, I had it renovated, and it's more secure with lots of CCTV, and we made sure that the right guards are assigned there, the jail guards are assigned there. So these big drug inmates, we transfer them. Because when they were in the maximum security compound, they could still communicate with their cohorts outside of the facility. So they could still transact business while inside the facility.
Where does the drug manufacturing happen? Outside, right?
It's actually outside.
It's outside, but they control it from
they
inside.
They control, yes, because they have cohorts.
They have capital, money.
Yes, they have the money. And that's why communication equipment is such an expensive, valuable commodity for them.
Inside.
Uh-huh. Because that's the only way that they could communicate.
They can text, they can call.
Yes, text and calls and iPad, computers, etc.
What do you intend to... What experience do you intend to bring in the Senate from this experience in the DOJ that you'll craft it into a law or something? Anong balak niya?
Yeah. Okay. If you're asking about my agenda, agenda, my advocacies, the platform of government, so to speak, I'm zeroing in on these matters, justice and rule of law, anti-corruption, and human rights. Because of my experience and also electoral reforms. But in terms of priority, of course, justice and rule of law, it's time to simplify our penal laws. It's time to come up with a new code of crimes. In fact, there is already a draft new code of crimes. I constituted 3 years ago a criminal code committee. That's multisectoral. That is chaired by the DOJ. And we submitted the draft new code of crimes already to replace the 83-year-old revised penal code. Now it's time to come up with a new code of crimes because there are obsolete matters there. There are obsolete provisions in our revised penal code. Wala pa yung mga human trafficking na yan. Wala pa yung mga the child trafficking, the drug trafficking, and other transnational crimes. And on the other hand, there are obsolete provisions like the challenging to a duel that's still in the revised penal code. Wala na naman nagdu-duel ngayon.
So meron pang ganun, ha?
Meron pang ganun in the revised penal code. We have to simplify also the investigative process. I've been advocating for the involvement of prosecutors way as early as evidence gathering. Hindi lang dapat yan ang trabaho ng mga polis o ng NBI. Dapat tinutulungan ng mga prosecutors yung mga polis, yung mga investigador, para napapalakas nila ang mga kaso. Para kapag pina-file na sa korte, ay malakas ito. Maraming nadidismiss dahil na mahihina ang mga kaso. So a criminal investigation bill where we hope to fuse and integrate the function of the law enforcers or the police investigators mm-hmm. and the prosecutors.
Mm-hmm. I was a reporter. I started as a reporter for the police beat, and I was exposed there for more than 2 years, mm-hmm. assigned at night. And what is glaringly obvious is mm-hmm. most of the, if not all, no, of the cases, and then you have a victim and you have a suspect, there are no lawyers available. So they can't defend themselves right there.
Right? Yeah, because not all police investigators would know which evidence are admissible, uh-huh. which evidence are competent, mm-hmm. and whether the evidence are strong enough mm-hmm. to really stand in court. Mm-hmm. So the best way is to ask our prosecutors to get mm-hmm. involved as early as the evidence gathering. Mm-hmm. So before any case is filed for preliminary investigation and with the court, we have to make sure mm-hmm. that we have the right evidence. Mm-hmm. And the prosecutors would be in the best position mm-hmm. to know which evidence would stand in court. So we have submitted also a draft mm-hmm. criminal investigation bill. And that's with Congress already, but I doubt whether there's enough time to enact it into law, mm-hmm. just like the new code of crimes. So kung papalarin tayo sa mm-hmm. Senado, Martin, mm-hmm. I'm going mm-hmm. to really push for that. Overall, we have to simplify all penal laws so that we punish the guilty faster, and we also free the innocents mm-hmm. faster.
Like for instance, the Maguindanao massacre, diba? The 30 plus journalists who were massacred there until now.
The case is still pending.
Because of...
Although quite understandable, because there are so many accused involved, mm-hmm. there are many, many victims mm-hmm. involved, and since there are so many accused, 197 mm-hmm. of them, and especially the principal accuser, they're represented by highly paid lawyers,
and
they know all the tricks in the book mm-hmm. on how to delay the cases. Mm-hmm. But I remain hopeful and confident, Martin, mm-hmm. that on or before the end of the Pinoy's term, that we'll be able to secure convictions, at least the principal accused, the Ampatuans. Anyway, their applications for bail have been denied already. Mm-hmm.
And one has passed on already.
Yes, yes.
So at least kahit isa o dalawa man lang, no?
Yeah.
Masampulan,
yeah.
Diba?
Yeah. Another agenda, if I may, mm-hmm. Martin, another agenda is, a new offensive against corruption. Panibagong opensiba mm-hmm. laban sa corruption. Laban sa mga tiwali sa mm-hmm. gobyerno. Mm-hmm. Kasi nasimulan na ng Pinoy administration. That's why we have senators, we have congressmen, we have senators in jail now awaiting mm-hmm. trial for plunder, mm-hmm. for the PDAF scam. Pero kailangan na natin ng next level mm-hmm. ng anti-corruption strategies. Mm-hmm. And what am I talking about? Now, I'd like to focus on strengthening our legal mechanisms, yung mga mekanismong legal para hindi na nakakapagtago at nakakapaggamit ng mga nakaw na yaman. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what we lack, the mechanisms. We have the asset forfeiture law. Mm-hmm. We need to improve that. Mm-hmm. The AMLAC mechanisms, the anti-money laundering, mm-hmm. we have to improve that. Mm-hmm. Para mas nahihirapan na yung mga kurakot na gamitin yung mga kinurakot nila.
Mm-mm, yung pera mismo na, in fact, the money that they embezzled is the same money that they spent to defend themselves.
Yes, the asset freezing, mm-hmm. the freezing of assets, the forfeiture of assets. Mahina pa ang mga mekanismo mm-hmm. natin dyan.
Mm-hmm. Even the batas that this allows the authority to open your dollar account.
Yeah, the bank secrecy law. Yeah. It's time to push for the lifting mm-hmm. of some. I'm not advocating for the total lifting of the bank secrecy law because mm-hmm. that would not be good for business. Mm-hmm. That would not be good for economy. Mm-hmm. And that would not be certainly not be mm-hmm. good for the banking industry mm-hmm. if we lift our if we lift bank secrecy.
How about us, the journalists? Are you going to fight for freedom of information?
Oh yes, mm-hmm. certainly. I'm always for that.
Yes, mm-hmm.
But you know, we have to make sure the Pinoy administration has to make sure that all the safeguards are also in place in the FOI
for national security.
For national security, mm-hmm. we have to make sure that the right exceptions are mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. The general law, of course, is mm-hmm. transparency. I mean, the general rule, mm-hmm. the general policy is transparency and mm-hmm. access to information of public interest, mm-hmm. of public concern. But there are matters that are simply, or that are, simply cannot be disclosed to the public. So what are those? We just have to make sure. And also the proper safeguards so that we also prevent abuse mm-hmm. of that, of the right of the citizens, of the citizenry to access public information.
All right. We're very cerebral now, so let's stop. Stop that. A lot of our listeners have turned off already, went to the other podcast.
Okay.
You have my vote already. Ito na lang. I want to ask you a lighter question, no? From serious to light.
Mm-hmm.
Who keeps you grounded? Or who reminds you, oy, Laila, no? Kalimutan, saan ka nang galing?
Mm-hmm. Well, it used to be my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Isa pa ngayon. You always put your foot on the ground. Mm-hmm. Do not forget that you're from Iriga City. Do not forget that your father came also from a lowly background.
Mm-hmm.
Na talagang ano lang, yung nagsumikap lang siya na mag-aral. Mm-hmm. Kaya umangat yung kanyang
status sa buhay.
Mm-hmm. But even if umangat na nga yung estado ng buhay namin, my father made sure na we were not spoiled, mm-hmm. that we were not, na hindi kami ano, kaya nga sarili, self-help din palagi.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be really my father. It's always been my father. So up to now, I would always think about my father, all the lessons in life that he gave me. And that really formed my personality.
Mm-hmm.
So, ganun.
Mm-hmm. And your mother, what does she tell you when you see each other?
Well, my mom is now 83 years old, and she's so proud kapag nakikita niya ako palagi sa TV, and she's my critic when it comes to fashion.
Uh-huh.
Ano na naman yung suot mo dati? Ano naman yung suot mo kanina sa TV? Di ba yung ginamit mo nung isang araw?
Uh-huh.
Dapat hindi ka nag-uulit ng damit kapag humaharap ka uh-huh. sa TV.
Uh-huh.
You know, but hindi ko naman kasi nalalaman kung kailan ako talaga haharap sa media because, uh-huh. Kadalasan ina-ambush,
uh-huh.
ina-ambush interview lang ako ng media, so I wouldn't care what I would look like
mm-hmm.
whenever they would ambush interview me. That part of me, my mother, mm-hmm. takes care of.
Basta and lahat then, ng socials, no?
Yes.
Tsura, lahat, everything.
Yes. O bakit nakasimangot ka na naman
mm-hmm.
sa TV? Try to smile mm-hmm. once in a while kasi mas gusto ng mga tao na nakikita kang ganun. Hindi yung masyado kang masungit, masyado kang matapang.
Mm. How do you relax, tingnan. By the way? How do you...
I have several stress busters.
What are those?
I have several stress busters. My dogs. Mm.
Dogs.
I have 10 dogs
mm-hmm.
right now of mixed breed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really love dogs.
What's your favorite breed?
Well, it used to be Labrador, but my Labradors are old already.
Mm.
So I have now a Japanese bitch.
Ah.
My favorite now is
they're noisy, right?
Coco. Well,
Japanese bitch, they're noisy.
Yes, and very jealous, but very, very intelligent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very sensitive, very jealous,
mm-hmm.
but very intelligent. They really know me a lot.
So how do you talk to your dogs?
I talk to them. Three of them sleep in my room.
Mm-hmm.
They're the privileged.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. Few.
Naka-aircon?
Naka-aircon.
At least.
Yeah. So, and so dogs, I go to the market.
The market. Like
during
the
weekends?
The
wet market.
Wet market.
BF Homes.
Public market. Okay.
Yes, BF Homes, Paranaque. I simply mm-hmm. enjoy mm-hmm. going to the market.
Have you
I
tried,
love cooking.
Have you tried the Alabang Public Market? Have
no.
you tried? Oh, you should try it.
Really?
It's really clean.
Uh-huh,
as
uh-huh.
in para siyang public market na private na hindi
yeah.
siya public market.
I've tried in dito sa Quezon City sa
Balintawak?
No.
Farmers?
No. Mm-hmm. There's another one mm-hmm. every Sunday lang, every Saturday.
Ah, okay.
Every
okay,
Saturday
yeah, that's
Sunday
right,
lang.
Right.
Several times I went there already.
So may Centrist?
Yes, Centrist.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So I tried that several times mm-hmm. but most of the time BF Homes.
BF Homes, yeah.
Every Sunday or almost every Sunday, and I cook.
Mm, okay. What
I love to cook.
What's your
laing?
Sarap. Talagang bicol talaga.
One of the days I'd like you to try my.
I have to try it.
My laing.
Mm-hmm.
People really can't don't forget my laing.
Mm-hmm. With beer, of course.
With beer, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But
and
you stop
spicy, here. Spicy.
Spicy, na with chili.
Yeah. To me, laing is not laing if it's not spicy.
So kaya mo laing, kaya mo rin Bicol Express.
Of course, because I'm from Bicol.
Yeah. And but you stopped drinking beer, so how can you enjoy it?
I have not stopped drinking beer. It's just uh-huh. that it's not as regular as before.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, San Miguel Light.
San Miguel.
Once in a while.
Whole Garden.
No, just San Miguel Light.
Ngayon maangampanya ka na, alam na nila kung ma'am, tumagay muna kayo.
Yeah. I try also once in a while Lambanog. Because in the province, that's what they want.
Uh-huh.
Well, I have not drunk Lambanog in recent years,
uh-huh.
but I tried it before several times,
mm-hmm.
and I anticipate that during the campaign sorties,
no, you should.
There would be areas where there would be Lambanogs.
You should try the Alcala.
Yes, I tried it.
Sarap.
I tried it because Sec Prose, in one Christmas, I think 2 years ago. He sent me some Alcala Lambanogs.
Oh, ubos ka agad. Alcala vodka.
Yes.
They call it, but it's Lambanog.
Yes.
Yeah.
I try that. It's good. It's good.
How would you like to be remembered?
I'd like to be remembered as just simply someone who has really fought
mm-hmm.
for many people. A David against Goliaths,
mm.
because you know I've run after very powerful political figures.
Mm.
That's it.
And if there are five people you would like to say thank you at the end of our life's journey, who would these five people be?
Of course, my dad is number one in the list. Then President Pinoy. For the opportunity, because I was never close to him before. I was not part of his circle.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I was so surprised that he appointed you. Kasi parang di ba hindi naman malayo. You weren't part of the campaign, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then my tita, Lilia.
The lawyer.
Yeah. Lilia de Lima.
Mm-hmm.
And the number four would be Ombudsman Conchita Morales.
Mm-hmm.
I consider her also a role model.
Mm-hmm.
And who else? It's got, well, former COMELEC chair, Sixto Brillantes.
Mm-hmm. It could
be. S. Brillantes.
Mm-hmm.
He was my mentor when I was new in election law,
mm-hmm.
election law practice. And until now, we're very close. Chair Sixto. Brillantes. I call him SS.
Mm-hmm.
Sixto S. Brillantes Jr.
Talagang master na master siya. Sa buhok pa lang eh. Puti na, no? It's like a drunken master.
Yeah.
What is your dream for the Filipino?
That I dream of a Philippines where Filipinos believe in themselves
mm-hmm.
and in their capacity to always do what is right.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, San Miguel tayo. This is your favorite drink of choice, so I'll pour
Thank you
a little bit. We can toast to it. And let me ask you, why is I Will Survive, or what makes I Will Survive one of your favorite songs?
Because it's really the story of my life. Mm-hmm. I survived all of the challenges and all of the crisis that came my way. Mm-hmm. People consider me controversial, mm-hmm. but I would tell them, I never asked to be controversial. It's just that these things, these issues, these major issues, these incidents, just fall on my lap. Mm-hmm. Incidents that need to be investigated. Mm-hmm. Criminals that need to be prosecuted. Mm-hmm. Issues that need to be addressed. So, but I survived them all. Mm-hmm. And that's why I Will Survive is also my favorite.
Cheers to that, madame.
Thank you.
San Miguelite for you. Mm-hmm. Secretary cheers. Laila De Lima, cheers. Department of Justice running for the Senate now. She gave us a lot about herself inside this man cave. This is the 69th man cave on podcast.ph. Thank you so much for listening. Here is the second favorite song of Secretary De Lima, I Will Survive, by Gloria Gaynor.
Yes.
All right, let's hear it. Thank you so much for listening.
At first I was afraid, I was petrified.
This podcast.ph presentation is supported by Martin Andanar's Homecast Studio and Audio.ph.